The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Let's go to Dublin. Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist, is sitting in studio waiting to talk to me. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Jonathan. How are you?
I'm good. Good to talk to you again. That this is a byproduct of COVID. It's nothing to do with the illness itself and the impact. We were talking about long COVID earlier. This is the impact it's had on people who feel isolated and who feel lonely. And there was a group that would have felt that way anyway, but COVID, by hectic COVID, lump an extra responsibility onto their shoulders. How difficult has it been for people to form relationships post-pandemic?
Okay, I think the way that you put it there is very good. In many ways, what I'm trying to kind of point to is that we need to look at how people are emerging. Some people, many that I would even be interfacing with, have not emerged yet. So not everybody is emerging from COVID. Many people that who were already quite inclined to stay in, to stay back, to hold back, they also, they have been inclined to be very slow coming out. But what I'm really speaking of when I say desperate for relationships, I suppose I'm echoing a title on an article that was written recently around love relationships, most especially, but also ordinary relationships. And that is that people have been through such a difficult time. And we all know that while the journeys, there's a commonality to our journeys, there was also a kind of an individuality to that. Some people were just stressed. Some people had grief to deal with. Others were very lonely. Others were very anxious. So there's a whole load of things there that were individual.
I got to let you, you clear your throat there because there's a frog after joining the studio. You're in a relationship with a frog in your throat, which needs to be cleared, Stephanie. But the point is, people were impacted in this in a way that they didn't necessarily understand. And it's not necessarily the people who would have been introverted at the start who are suffering exclusively now. Others will have found themselves in
that
a situation
way,
whereby the things they could have done before easily
Correct.
Are harder now.
That's right, Jonathan. And also coming out of it then, so they've been through this whole 2 years, as all of us have been, and then they emerge. And you must remember that stresses that are experienced now are overlaid, if you like, on the stress that was there for the 2 years. And we know clinically that stress is very much cumulative. It builds up within you. It builds one on the other. And indeed, stresses that are alike build almost in a more exponential kind of way. So what we are finding for those who are out there trying to build relationships, that they don't have the same kind of resilience that they had before, that they are more sensitive, that there is almost like we would see it in the dating world, that there is a kind of almost like a dating burnout, that people are finding it difficult to bounce back from rejection. That's a big word, but from disappointments, from very small situations that are holding a bigger significance for them. And that's, to me, that's a sort of, you know, that makes me look towards clinically a kind of burnout, that their systems have been struggling for quite a while. And as a result, they feel depleted. They feel emotionally and psychologically depleted. And so you don't have that bounce, because resilience is all about bounce, whether, you know, you can bounce back from a disappointment. You can, you've lost your job. Well, can you kind of look at it and say to yourself, well, maybe there's a good part to this. Maybe actually I'd reached my limit there. Maybe I need to start thinking in new directions. So that's resilience. But in relationship terms, it's like that little inside internal bounce has really left many people. And that's really what I'm touching on here.
Yeah. Well, can I just talk about a specific age cohort, if I can? That the group of people who are in their 20s and 30s, you know, that period in your life when you feel invincible, that, you know, the world is at your feet. It's open road ahead of you. That road was firmly closed to that group 2 years ago. And if they were in a relationship, they had to maintain it. But the likelihood of them starting a new relationship was dramatically reduced. And the older that cohort is,
yes,
the more that loud, booming TikTok is hitting them going, yes. I'm in my 30s, I'm not married, I haven't got kids, I haven't got a stable relationship, what am I doing? It's a disaster. How do we fix them? How do we help those people, tell them, it's okay, guys, it's all right to feel like you do, but you know, you're as good as you were 3 years ago, you just need to remember it.
Yes, there's a bit of that. I think you're right. A bit of affirmation, but you're 100% right on the age situation. I mean, people in the younger 20s, they had less a feeling of risk and there were, I know they were shut down, but as you say, the open road ahead. But as you moved later into that phase of the 20s, like 29, 30, you know, sort of moving the end of that decade, for probably more so for women than for guys, that there was there were quite a lot of people in that particular frame that found themselves either maybe at the end of a relationship that maybe they were happy ended because they felt it was the right thing that would be over, and perhaps correctly so. But then we're looking towards maybe getting serious again, you know, really looking with a clearer head about what they wanted. And then suddenly there was a nothing. I think they're a group of people that particularly suffered because they found themselves really, as you say, arrested, but arrested at a time when going forward and forming new relationships was really important because, as you call it, as you say, the biological TikTok going on there, which is just a reality for women. And of course, I've met a lot of women post-pandemic who have made that decision around freezing their eggs for that reason, which I think is smart and good, but it's not a nothing procedure. And it does open that road again a little bit. And I think that's important, which is kind of what you were touching on there.
We talk about relationships, but relationships, of course, take time. One of the bits of advice you've written down here is kiss a lot of frogs. Now, that's not a reflection on the gene pool in Ireland, but what you're saying is fine. I presume it's until you find your Prince Charming.
Yes. Well, I suppose what I'm referring to again is it's one of the challenges for, again, that grouping or indeed, you know, for anyone, you know, good relationships take time. Also, you can't know a person in 3 months. You can't, even if everything is wow and fabulous, it may not be fabulous later because it takes time in a relationship, particularly if you're looking for, you know, that big long-term love that's going to take you all the way through your sort of children and all of that. You, as parents, you know, you need to have a really, really sound kind of beginning to get through all the challenges that come with all of that. So it takes time to build relationships, not just to pick them, to go out with many, many people, to kiss a lot of frogs or sleep with them, which is, I think, a euphemism now, kiss a lot of frogs. But, you know, the reality is that's the world we are living in. And it takes time for them to select and deselect and to learn what is good for them and what is not good for them and what they really want and aspire to in terms of a couple. And I just think that it's time to get maybe, you know, a little serious about it. We talk a lot and, you know, the whole romantic data, you know, that has been put out there over the many, many years. But I find now that maybe I, even myself, I'm seeing it in a little more serious light for people. Not only that I was always helping in the background as a therapist, but I'm really noticing that people are coming to me saying, you know, I feel stuck. I'm here I am again. You know, these are people with great jobs, great success in other parts, aspects of, you know, their life and other aspects of relationships, but are struggling within the context of their romantic relationships and they find themselves stuck. And what I am saying is there is time. And maybe if you're finding yourself going around in a circle, you really need to press the pause button. Don't keep going fast. That's not going to work. And I wanted to mention that something that I thought was very interesting, and it's a first for me, is that corporates, I am noticing, the bigger corporations are beginning to support their staff and guide them through in their relationship world. And I think that is really interesting post-COVID.
So does HR start vetting your partners? I mean, how does that work?
No. No, they don't start. No, I'm sure they're doing that already anyway. I'm only kidding. No, I think what's happening is, and I've been involved obviously in some of it, I found it incredibly interesting and enjoyable to do. And it was to give a user-friendly talk to staff about the deeper aspects. In other words, the really serious side of relationships, how it, you know, how much of our bandwidth goes on dealing with the new relationship, with the breakup, with the disappointments, and what it is like to really navigate that journey. And you would think that maybe staff wouldn't come to such a talk. They'd feel, oh, that's a bit exposed, you know, talking about that. So many people came.
Oh, it's a new generation.
Yes,
I couldn't imagine anything worse when I was in that cohort of 20s and 30s than sitting in a room with people talking about how terrible my love life is. But this is a new group.
That's right.
It?
And they were so open. It was just such a joy to do from my point of view as a therapist. I'm not saying they gave very personal questions, but people stood up, asked questions. And I was speaking then with one or two of the staff members afterwards, and they said, and I just thought it was great. She said, you know, she said, I broke up recently. And she said, I would have kept all that to myself. But she said, I have just started to be more open with people about it. And it's just made all the difference. So it's about not just being, I suppose, fickle and light about it, like it's all sun and light, because it's not all sun and light. It's when there's breakup, there's heartbreak. When there's breakup, there's rejection. And there is an emotional echo in every breakup. We can remember every time we felt like that before. And that's why our bandwidth gets all used up when we're dealing with relationships. It's the serious side of it that needs looking at.
Solid advice as always. Stephanie Regan, clinical psychotherapist. Thank you so much for joining us. Jess Kelly's next.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Mater Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.